B62. Number 2B.
All right. Now, we are not living in the 5,000-year period, in the 6,000-year period. And we go back to the same Bible. The Bible hasn't changed. Thank God it's always printed in the same way, and they can't change it, and they can't put it to modern language and to modern symbolism, and I don't know what, and therefore defiling it. It's unchanged because not the language has to change, it's our frame of reference, a frame of consciousness that has to change to read the old text in a new way. What is the way we read it today? How should we read the Bible today? And how can you reason that out? Can you now tell me how you reason scientifically? How would you reason that out now? Tell me, is somebody brave enough to tell me that? How would you reason it? Yes?
Right.
Yes?
Well, for instance, the first chapter of Genesis now is telling us scientific fact, really, about the 7 days of creation, which in turn it was the new moon of the Trinity.
Yes? You mean the writing?
I'm not saying that.
But, yeah. And it's beautiful that you say it like this, though it's not really very direct, I would say.
The four gospels, it was a symbolism of, you want me to spell?
Even that is too much. You see, can you see? Yeah, it's all right. You mean the right thing, you know. But because you elaborate on that, it becomes already the beginning so complicated that things get out of gear. You see? What you really want to say is, or how you should reason, go back to the simple statement. Don't be so damn complicated. Go back to the simple. You see, I'm always 10 times simpler than you are. What did we say that the 6,000-year period is in regard to reality and consciousness? We said that reality is science, and the symbolism is science, the system of science. Can you see? You always go back to your proposition and not to another proposition, which is already an elaboration, because that makes it difficult. You go right back and say, all right, what did we see in the 6,000-year period? We see that the idea is science and the symbol is science, which is system. Therefore, now you go to the application, therefore we have to read the Bible as a system, as a science. You wanted to say that. Only that you said it already elaborated, the 4 and the 7 and the days of creation and the numerals of infinity. So it's already a heap, and not something straight, so slender, so nicely. Just say, all right.
You read the prophets as a system, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You see? Yeah. You see how simple it is? So that you say, all right, I go back to the same text, but now I read it as a scientific system, which is what? Which is showing how principle expresses itself as a system of ideas. We said in the 6,000-year period you have the synonymous term and the ideas. You have the capitalized terms expressed through ideas. So we read the whole Bible as that, as seeing what is the principle, what are the capitalized terms in it, and through which ideas are they expressed. That's the job that Dawley did. That's his big contribution. That he could see, I'm not going to read a book in the Bible like Samuel and just have a lot of fun with it, how Peniah was not had children, and Hannah didn't have children, and she was barren, and that she wanted to have a child, and how she got the child, and how she went to the priest, and so on and so on and so on. Now, you read in it. You read the tonality of the capitalized terms and their ideas. See. So you start out with someone and say, oh, golly, how wonderful. Here you have the creative mind as mind. That Hannah wants to have a child, mind as mind. Therefore, what is needed is mind as spirit. You have to have a pure mind. So Hannah went to the priest and so on, so on, so on. And you have to have mind as soul, that such an idea, pure idea, brings forth the child. It identifies it. And so Samuel was born in the story. You don't read Hannah and the priest and the child and being barren and bringing forth the child and naming the child and giving it the name. And so you read mind as mind, mind as spirit, mind as soul, mind as principle. She put that whole thing into the hands of Eli, said, here is my child. Train him as a priest, train him to be principal. Can you see what John Dolly did? He took, you see, the biblical story and did not put it into ideas, into metaphysical ideas. He put it into the synonymous term and the system through ideas, expressed through ideas. That's what he did. So that Samuel, for him, was a terrific story, the 7 by 7. Yeah?
I remember we did that before the
time. Yeah. Well, with any book you can do that. All the books are, if they are taught from God, dictated by God, they must be ordered, because God is not chaotic. But it looks chaotic. It looks disordered. But science is always that which makes out of disorder order. And the higher you go in your consciousness, the better we can make out of chaos into order. That disorder is actually order when seen from a higher standpoint. So can you see what Dolly did? He put the whole Bible not just in metaphysical language. He did much more than that. He put it into the system of science. Of the 7 and the 4 and the 4. And you know what he did? He did something terrific. He wasn't realizing what he was doing. Most of the things he did in the last 5 years, he didn't know what he was doing, really. Only now one can see what he was doing and what the import is. He himself didn't quite realize. He had such a flair and spiritual sense for science that he did these things unknowingly what he was doing. He began to use a method that was unknown up to that point, which is known today, namely epitomizing. He began to use the principle of synonymy. And with the principle of synonymy, he began to epitomize the story. Which meant what? Which meant that he put the whole biblical language into the symbolism of the capitalized terms and their interrelationship, or into their blending of the 7 by 7. If that was the case, or like in Daniel, the 4 by the 4, or anyway, into the system. So that all the biblical language went down the drain, And what was left was really only the epitomes. Well, the epitomizing is a method of being able to show the calculus of reality. How mind reflects mind and spirit and soul, principle, life, truth, and love. How spirit reflects mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. How soul reflects mind, spirit, soul, principle. And so we can symbolize the whole calculus of ideas and of reality through the method of epitomizing. So he used that method just as we use them today, as we have used it in the textbook by epitomizing it. So can you see that this is a 6,000 year period? So in the 6,000 year period, we really should be able to read the Bible and interpret the Bible, not by interpreting endlessly all the various details of imagery and put it into the language of ideas. This is old hat. It's necessary to know that in order to lift it out of the idea universe into the universe of the capitalized terms. So that finally, now we come to the 7,000 year period. See, that in the 7,000 year period we will read the Bible again differently. Very much differently. And I think if you know, for instance, my book on the prophets, there I have already more or less indicated the 7,000 year period way of reading the Bible by getting rid entirely of the biblical symbols, first showing how the biblical symbols represent spiritual ideas, putting the spiritual ideas back into the synonymous term back into a system of 7x7, and finally dropping that by just having the synonymous terms. See? Just the synonymous terms. Because, sorry, I went a bit too fast. I should have asked in the 7,000 period, now what is the 7,000 period? The main point? Huh? Then we would have seen, there it is, that reality and symbol means that the capitalized terms are really the symbol for reality. Huh? Without ideas, so that only the capitalized terms are symbolizing what needs to be symbolized, so that the whole Bible is symbolized just through the capitalized terms. Say, well, this is mind as mind, without saying this is the creative mind bringing forth something, without saying mind as spirit, which gives birth through purity. That's no more necessary, birth through purity of spirit, just spirit. Mind of spirit. Can you see that? If you can't, you have to see it. I must make you to see it. See, that's what I want to do with the textbook, that you have, now just think, just picture quickly mentally the epitome book. Most of you go to Atonement and Eucharist, you have the epitomes of Atonement and Eucharist. There you have a nice combination of the 6,000 and 7,000 year period. The 6,000 year period is that part on that page which is written out in sentences. Because through the sentences you express the ideas of the synonyms. But in front of it, on the left-hand side, in columns, you only have the synonymous terms. So if you drop the whole all the sentences, see, you still have Atonement and Eucharist. Because then you lift it into the 7,000-year period where you just are thinking in terms of the synonymous terms. But naturally, you have to know what the synonymous terms are. You have to know the tonality. Without that, it's just a lot of words. Just jumbling with words and terms. But in those epitomes, really, they are built so that even visionally, I say that from even seeing it from with your eyes, you have on the right hand side, you have the 6,000-year period, and on the left-hand side of the page, you just have the 7,000-year period. That's what is coming. It becomes for me sometimes very difficult to think in terms of the 6,000-year period. I'm getting so used to the 7,000-year period that I just think in synonymous terms, in capitalized terms. I don't think about mind and then say, what does mind mean? Oh yes, that's law, and that's intelligence, that's power, that's create, and so on. I don't have to do that anymore. See? Now, another point. Do we gain something by doing that? Is this progress to think in the capitalized terms? It's terrific progress. Why? Because in this way, you begin to use the principle of redundancy. What is the principle of redundancy? The principle of redundancy says, if you want a drop of water, take a bucketful. Then you're sure you have a drop of water. Yes? It doesn't try to pick out a drop of water. Say, now here I have a drop of water. I only need a drop of water. I have to feed my little bird and he only needs a drop of water. So I go pick out a little drop of water and give it to the bird and say, here you have what you need. It's enough for you. Oh, I take a pitcher and put it and say, give it the whole thing to the bird and say, here you have it. I know that he doesn't drink more than a drop. That's the principle of redundancy. I give redundant. I give more than is needed. If I give more than is needed, I'm quite sure that that which is needed is in it. That I don't miss that. Can you see that? That's the principle of redundancy. If I need an idea of mind by power, I can take power. But I also can take mind. There you have it. You can also add power, you can add law, you can add action, whatever you like. And if you don't need anything else but power, and you don't need law, and you don't need intelligence and all these ideas, doesn't matter. There is a redundant thing here. Is that clear about the principle of redundancy? So the 6,000-year period interpretation, the epitomes in sentences, are only giving that which is absolutely needed. Because I define it through single ideas. Got it? The single ideas. But if I take the left-hand side of the page where I have only the synonymous term, I also give that idea but 1,000 times more. So the principle of redundancy is that principle which is much larger, much bigger. And because the 7 synonymous terms, or the capitalized terms, are underlying the synonymic principle, they all blend in a redundant way. In a redundant way. So that if I only work with the consciousness of the capitalized terms, I'm quite sure that all the details are included in it. Because the bigger contains the lesser. And so I don't have always that sense, did I get the right idea? Do I use the right idea? Which means that it is quite a different practice. We come back to that afterwards. Can you see that? What is really, what we really drive at, what we really drive at, is that we have, of the capitalized terms, such a round, full, image or touch or feel or what, it's a scientific feel, that we don't have to split it up in ideas in order to understand it. And therefore we have the redundant mind, the redundant spirit, and the redundant soul, and they blend and blend and blend infinitely, and we are quite sure that nothing is left out. We are never in that situation where we feel, well, did I find the specific idea for it? And did I find the right idea? And did I think of everything and so on? It's so bountiful, so big, that it includes everything. Got it? Got it.
Max, could I make an observation or ask a question?
Yes.
Last year, when we were here, you mentioned the term of man, the term man, as being, you don't use it now, but man is obsolete. You lose the idea in place of man.
Yes.
And then later on, you made the observation that God was obsolete.
Yes.
And that kind of shocked me.
I can't quite agree, yeah.
I couldn't quite understand that. For months after I got home studying, I thought about it a great deal, because I knew you made the statement because you knew it was true.
Yeah.
But if I didn't agree with it, I had to agree with it if I was going on in the science aspect. So that's the way I read this. But if God, the term God is obsolete,
yes,
then there must be another term for God.
Yes. Yes.
And so I began to think in terms of that, and then you don't know what I caught up with and come up with. This is just an observation. The Supreme Being, Mrs. Eddy talked about the Supreme Being, the principle of the universe.
Yeah.
And man.
And idea.
So if we're coming into the sixth situation,
yeah,
we have to change our terms, which
yeah,
we're doing.
Yes.
We have to recognize that we don't talk in terms of God
yeah,
anymore. We talk in terms of the Supreme Being, because when you begin to analyze what the Supreme Being is, that includes every other aspect of every other person's concept of God, including all other religious beliefs or everything else. There's only one Supreme Being, and Mrs. Eddy made that statement in there, and that I kept thinking about, well, that has to be, and I took my science and health, and every time I found God, I wrote Supreme Being above it.
Yes. Yeah.
And I took it out.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for months.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
now I'm beginning to get a better understanding.
Yeah.
From a science standpoint, working into these new, you have to have new terms to work
yeah,
out.
And don't you feel that the new term for God is not so much Supreme Being, but principle? Or but the seven synonymous term, because they are our elements in being. Supreme Being is just another biblical term for God, whereas the seven synonymous term are scientific terms for God. Scientific terms for God. You know, what I said there is actually what Mrs. Eddy said, because as you go on in the textbook, the further you go, and especially when you come to the last three chapters, Mrs. Eddy begins to substitute. Now I have to be clear about English. I put it this way. Always when I have to use substitute, I always use the wrong way around. It's a funny thing. She begins to put instead of God and man, principle, and idea. More and more. She doesn't do that at the beginning. Because at the beginning she knows people like to have a God and they like to have a man. But the more she goes on to the science chapter, she begins to Now, how do you say? To substitute God-man with principled idea. Is that the right way of saying it? See, so that's what I meant. I had it from Mrs. Eddy. I didn't have it from me. And here you see it very easily. You see, the moment you put a synonymous term, you have the synonym principle. So that the moment you say one synonymous term, you say all the synonymous terms. See, on the ground of the synonym principle, we say, for instance, principle, and we mean mind, spirit, soul, life, truth, and love. We mean all the seven because of the synonym principle. And therefore you can see the infinite redundancy. If we talk only about principle and not about the ideas of principle, we have a redundant concept, and as that redundant concept is at once reflecting all the other synonymous terms, you get an infinite redundancy. Therefore, it's an overflowing sense that we use when we deal with it with the capitalized terms. Now, which one was first? I think you were first.
Does the synonymy principle and the redundancy principle apply to the levels and the verses?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She says in the levels, she says they are synonymous. That divine signs and Christian signs are, and spiritual signs are synonymous. They must be synonymous, or else they would not blend. You see, if they were not synonymous, you would have the level of science and then a real wall, and then you come to divine science, and then you have a wall again, then you come to absolute Christian. That's not so. They are synonymous, because the moment you say divine science, you also mean absolute Christian science and Christian science. But the accent is on divine science. But you mean also the other levels. So that's the use of Mrs. Eddy capitalized terms. In order to have the synonym principle evolving, she uses those capitalized terms where every capitalized term stands for God. Yes? You want to say something, Margie, or Carolyn?
Yes, I understood what you said about the difference between ideas and the capitalized terms, but it's not ringing yet. And I'm wondering if you could say something more about the difference in aim between the 6,000-year period and the 7,000-year period, which would help me to see why redundancy is such a good thing. And I know it is. It must be so. Could you say a little more?
Yeah. And what did you want to ask, Margie?
When you were saying that the epitome, the sentence is being 6,000 years and the synonyms
almost
turn to 7.
Yeah.
How would we get differentiation from one chapter to another when we get to that point?
Good question. I answered both questions tonight. Okay.